And welcome to another edition of The War Room here on this post-Super Bowl Monday morning. You're going to hear me say this when we visit with our guest today. Our guest is going to be Scott Marlow. Second time on the show here. He is the voice of the Parsons Vikings on KOKC. We're going to talk basketball. We're going to talk a little wrestling. But full disclosure, this show is pre-recorded. Every show is pre-recorded. So we do our best to live in the future when I conduct these interviews. We try not to talk about things that haven't happened yet. We try to keep everything timely so we're not talking in the past. But at the same time, only so much I can do. Scott Marlow and I, we do not know what happened in the Super Bowl. This show was recorded on Saturday. Obviously, Sunday, the Chiefs play the 49ers in the Super Bowl. We do not know what happened. Both Scott and I are big Chiefs fans. We hope for the best. We hope we're celebrating this Monday morning, or we might just be mourning this morning. But that is our housekeeping I wanted to take care of. Like I said, today's guest is going to be Scott Marlow on the War Room. He is the voice of the Parsons Vikings here on KOKC. So a couple KOKC colleagues catching up. It's his second time on the show, 22 episodes in, and our first repeat guest. He's a great guy. To talk to. He has a lot of insight, and we're going to talk a lot about Parsons boys basketball today. We're also going to talk about a little Erie girls basketball, and we'll talk about some girls wrestling as well. Big time, big show in front of us. Hope this post, enjoy the post Super Bowl Monday. I know the Chiefs are what's on everybody's mind, but here's some local sports here for you to start your week off right. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us here on the War Room here on KOKC. And we're back here on the War Room with our first repeat guest of this show. Scott Marlow, voice of the Parsons Vikings here on KOKC. Scott, I told you you were going to be a repeat guest on here when you left last time, that you're going to be the most common guest on this show. And already, I'm living up to my word. How you doing today?
I appreciate you having me back.
Thanks, Scott. Full disclosure, we are recording this on a Saturday. Full disclosure, every interview is recorded prior to that Monday morning. That the show broadcasts. Generally, we try to live in the future when we do these shows. But with the Super Bowl happening on Sunday, with the Kansas City Chiefs playing the 49ers, both Scott and I are huge Chiefs fans. We don't know who won the Super Bowl. It hasn't happened yet. So for those of you on Monday morning listening to a sports show, wanting some Super Bowl, we're as disappointed as you are. But hopefully we're not disappointed this Monday morning, and hopefully we're celebrating a win. I'll tell you what, Scott. I finessed my way into getting Monday off work at the Parsons Sun. I was very happy about that.
So well, that's good. Win or lose, you're going to want it off.
I know. I had to ask my boss, Ray Nolting, at the Parsons Sun. I'm planning a summer vacation with my father, and so we went over. My dad and I went over the dates, and then I go to Ray, or before I went to Ray, my editor, I looked at our work calendar to see if anybody was off, and I saw nobody was off this week in July, so I was like, all right, I'm about to go ask him. I'm about to say, hey, put me on vacation. And I was like, I wonder if anybody took off Monday. And this was last week. And I go back and look at it. I'm like, nope, nobody took off Monday, so I'm going to ask for it and see if he'll give it. And so I tell him, hey, I'm going to Virginia in July with my dad, and so I need this week off. Is anybody working? And he looks at the calendar. He's like, no. But I'm like, all right, can I have that week off? And he's like, all right, sure. And I just throw in, can I have Monday off too? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, all right, see ya. I got the answer I wanted, yeah. And I was out of there.
Never hesitate.
Never hesitate. It's like that scene in Moneyball. It's one of my favorites. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not seen that movie.
There's a scene in Moneyball where Brad Pitt, the GM, who's playing Billy Beane, the GM of the Oakland Athletics, he's on the phone with the Cleveland Indians GM talking about a trade. And the GM agrees to it on the phone. He's on speakerphone. He agrees to the trade, but then he keeps talking, but Billy Beane just hangs up. And the assistant GM for the A's, who's played by Jonah Hill, goes, I think he was going to say something else. And Billy Beane goes, when you get the answer you want, hang up.
It's always been my mentality.
Exactly. Well, Scott, let's talk some Parsons boys basketball.
Okay.
They are 12-1 right now, not 13-0, which I think a lot of people were hoping for. But I think a lot of people would have surprised is not the word, but very thrilled at going to the start of the year. The Parsons boys lost their first game of the year at the Saints Classic Championship up at St. Thomas Aquinas in Overland Park. They lost it to Liberty North. Great team out of Missouri. Apparently that team's only like 500, but man, they must just have the most brutal schedule. And apparently they've won like six of their last eight or something like that. Apparently they started playing really well down the stretch of the season they're in. I watched the game live in its entirety on your broadcast. That was the best defensive team I think I've seen in high school basketball since I've been here in Parsons. You were there in person. What was your takeaway from that game?
Well, I talked to Coach Houck, like I always do, for at least a few minutes before the game, and I think the day before, after Parsons had won their semifinal game. And, yeah, he said that Liberty North team reminded him a lot of the Andale team that Parsons mm-hmm. played for third place a couple of years ago at the state tournament. Solid defensively and just big and thick. Not tall, but more like a lot of guys were built more like a football player.
Yeah.
And they were solid on both ends of the floor, but yeah, you're right. It was at the defensive end where they won that game, especially in the third quarter. All three of the four quarters were almost dead even. They outscored Parsons 17-5 in the third quarter.
That's all it was.
And that was ball game. They started milking the clock with about 6 minutes mm-hmm. left in the game. And they were really good at spreading the floor.
What I watched on offense, and this is the first thing Houck pointed out outside of the quarter, was Liberty North's ability to milk that clock, like you said, to pass the ball around, to... I don't want to call it a stall because they did it with a purpose. They didn't just sit at half court and do whatever. But I've seen teams try to do that against Parsons and lose because of it.
Yeah, and that shows you how good they are at doing what they do, because normally...
Because DeQuan and Derek are built to beat that.
Yeah, you're going to have trouble. You're going to get yourself in a situation where you're getting trapped out at half court or on the sideline. And, you know, the Vikings got in a situation where they were down double digits, had to do some chasing on defense, and that Liberty North team was good enough, you know, that they ended up, you know, making the Vikings pay and got some easy layups and put the game away.
I think the way I worded the question to Anthony Houck after that game was, the later a loss comes, the more it hurts. That especially, or the later your first loss comes, the more it hurts. But at the same time, they went 12-0 to start the year. I think you and I can sit here and say it's almost stupid to say, that's as perfect as you could have been with the type of schedule they played up to that point. They had games against Pittsburgh. Girard's not what they are this year, but they're still the defending state champs, and they went on the road game one. They hadn't beat Girard in 2 years.
Yeah.
The last two tries. And I mean, all that can seep into your mind early, and it's not like they had a dominant first half against Girard.
No, not at all.
In week one, they played the top ranked 3A team in collegiate. They played, they had a brutal schedule to start that year, and I remember thinking to myself at the start of the year, man, that's a hard schedule. The Parsons team could be really good and be looking at through 12 games, they could be looking at 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. 12-0.
Yeah, guys like Zeke and Derek and DeQuan that, you know, we talk about a lot, and they get a lot of press, they get a lot of time on the radio station for obvious reasons. Now that they're seniors, that they've even stepped up their game a little bit more, maybe a lot more. You can just tell. I mean, they've always been leaders, but they've just taken it to a whole other level. I get asked all the time. By people that are roughly my age. Yeah, how does this team compare to the last state championship team in 87?
That's literally going to be my question to you.
And how do they compare to the 1992 team that went 25-0 before getting upset in the state finals by Abilene? And the bottom line is, so many years have passed, I honestly don't know. But if I had to give an answer, you know, I would just say no disrespect to the guys that are a little bit deeper on the bench, but you take – this year's top six, I'd put them up against anybody the school's ever had.
Yeah. And that's – to go to your question, too, the game has changed a lot.
It has changed.
I mean, you said 92 was the team that went to the finals, 25-0 mm-hmm. and lost. You're about to be upset. That was the year I was born.
That's okay. I know I'm old. It's okay.
You're not, man. you got just as much energy as I do. But, you know, it's unfair to compare to history – But you're right. I think you look at now, but you said their top six can go up against anybody. And I've talked with Hauk about this at length. And against LeBec County on Friday night, you saw them trying to actively solve this problem. You know, a lot of people are saying or thinking that Parsons has the capability to really make a deep run. They can win a league title, which will almost be wrapped up if they beat Pittsburgh this coming Friday. If they don't go to state, that's a huge disappointment. But at the same time, how can I even admit it? Like, that second round sub-state game to get into state, it's not going to be a bad team that comes in and plays you. It's going to be somebody who won a game. It's going to be somebody who's in the top half of the East. And if you have a bad night and that team plays great, you may not go. And so, it's still a task just to get there. But the truth is, the expectation for this team is to go to state and to be playing all 3 days. And the true belief with how well this team has played is that they may be able to go all the way. When I look at a team that has the capability to go all the way, I think the biggest question mark facing Parsons is their depth. Can they win 3 games in 4 days with 6 guys? That's tough. Almost no matter who you're playing.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And so I'm assuming boys must play on Wednesday.
I believe that's true.
Play first round. So, and that, in my mind, that's going to favor Parsons because of the lack of depth. They will at least get
a day.
Thursday off in between. And hopefully, they're going to have – they could potentially be going up to state with 1 or 2 losses.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have a very high seed. You're going to probably be seeded no lower than 2nd if things play out like we hope. And, you know, the best thing you can hope for is to have, I guess, what I would call kind of a soft game in the first round and where some of those guys in that top six rotation don't have to play as many minutes as they might, you know, when they beat Anderson County, went down to the final minute, you know. And, you know, if you have something like that, you know, it's just hard to say. But, yeah, I mean, it's such an electric team. They're so fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after getting it was a crummy draw for Parsons and Piper in last year's state tournament. And unfortunately, those things happen. But hopefully it doesn't happen this year because this is a team that deserves to be playing on Saturday. And I don't mean playing for third place either. They deserve to be in the title game.
And when you talk about building depth, if you're looking for who's going to be 7, who's going to be 8, maybe who's going to be 9, I think a couple players that I'm watching, the Hogans, Miles, and Croy have probably gotten the most playing time out of that group. They are seniors, and I think they're not bad defenders. They're not going to be the greatest offensive threats, and so if you need a bucket, it may be hard to get them on the floor, but they're capable defenders, and they're capable on the floor. Jesse Jones is a guy I'm really watching, a freshman guard, super small, so if height's a problem, that can be difficult. But man, I mean, he looked comfortable in that tournament up at the Saints Classic. He looked comfortable in that environment. He got a little shot happy at times, but he did make 1-3, I think, against Liberty North.
I think he did. He's been a fun player to watch. I actually thought he might get a few more minutes than what he has this year, but again, when the point guard is Derek Williams.
how do you take what is – I don't have it in front of me, but how do you take the – probably the state leader and the Parsons all-time career leader in assists off the floor.
Right.
So you can put in Jesse Jones, a freshman.
You know, and I mentioned this, I think, during last night's broadcast, the Parsons-LeBec County game. I mean, it's actually absurd when you stop and think in the same graduating class, you're looking at the top assist leader. Yeah, statistically, you have the best rebounder in school history.
He's gonna be
in Daquan,
the career rebound leader.
You have the most 3-point shots made by Zeke Lyons, and you're probably going to end up with the shot block leader
in Pierce Thomas.
That's just crazy. And that's,
Pierce has really done it in 2 years.
Yeah, he didn't play much as a sophomore.
Mm-mm. And I don't think he stepped on the floor as a freshman.
No, I don't believe he did either.
No, I mean, and Pierce Thomas, I think, is the guy that has really, I think, taking Parsons to this next level because they have a true post presence that really hasn't been seen since really in these last 3 or 4 years of Derek, Daquan, and going back to Devontae Yates and Joel Scheibe. That era, which has a lot of promise, Pierce, none of them were a true interior force, and I think Pierce Thomas's evolution has been the has really put them on that next level.
Yeah, and you know, when he kept growing, and he, you know, he grew another inch from last year to this year. He's listed at 6'7" now, and he has that massive wingspan, and he's just so good with his timing. He blocks so many shots, and after watching him develop last year, I thought, okay, great, we're going to have a rim protector. He's going to grab a lot of rebounds. That's great. And now as a senior, he has developed some pretty nice post moves that I did not anticipate. Mm-hmm. And I, because last year I was thinking, well, if Pierce can just take care of things on the defensive end, we don't need him to score. But if he can
put up the third or fourth league score,
if he can put up 10, 12 points a game, whew, Parsons is going to be a tough out.
Oh, yeah. Scott, we're going to take a quick break here on the War Room, but when we come back, let's just go rapid fire for some other issues in the area. We'll step off Parsons boys basketball a little bit. Obviously, they're having a great year. When we come back, more of Scott Marlowe, voice of the Parsons Vikings, here on the War Room here on KLKC. And we're back here on the War Room. We got about 8-10 minutes left here on the show, Scott, and I just kind of wanted to rattle off a few things that are happening around. First off, we are nearing, we're in February now, so it is the month of the first ever girls sanctioned state championship for wrestling in the state of Kansas. Keisha sanctioned that sport last year in the summer. Parsons has a few girls wrestlers. They wrestled Cherryville last week. Cherryville has a few girls wrestlers. Labette County has a girl, Abby Jones, who is ranked number one in the state in her weight class.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are with that state championship coming up. What do you think that means for the state?
Well, you know, I have a career competitive wrestling record of 2-2. From back when I was in grade school.
500, even Stevens.
And I thought, yeah, that's good enough. I don't have a losing record. Let's move on to something else. It's maybe not quite so physical. No, I have a lot of respect for wrestlers. And I tell you, getting the girls involved in it, I don't think that would ever been on. I know it wouldn't have been on the table back when I was a teenager and in high school. But, you know, I think it's great because there's a lot of girls that maybe don't compete in anything else. Maybe they've, you know, I'm sure there's girls out there who have never been in a sport before, but now they're wrestling. And you mentioned Abby, but there's a lot of great athletes out there, and wrestling's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. You got to work your tail off, and you know, I can remember when I was in high school, some of the boys, you know, they'd have to, for like 3 days, they wouldn't eat lunch.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
I cut weight. Yeah.
At my weigh-in, I got to be under this, you know, this weight. And there's a lot that goes into it. And I had a lot of friends growing up that were pretty good wrestlers. And, yeah, nothing but respect. And I think it's great for the girls. I think it's great for the state of Kansas that they finally sanctioned that.
It'll be an all-classes event the day before the boys' tournament in Salina. And I hope to be there to cover it. I think it's going to be a big deal. I think you'll see, like, national. I bet you get national media there watching the first ever state championship in the state history for girls. And I think what's great is, particularly with Abby, and I think there's a girl at Cherryville who's fairly competitive, who's pretty competitive well, but obviously Abby gives it the best chance. There might be a state title in this area coming home. Imagine that, the first ever state champion. And Levette County may get one of them. That's going to be a big deal. She might deserve a parade onto herself.
Yeah, because didn't she win it last year? I know it wasn't sanctioned.
She won it at the one that they had in McPherson. Right. Obviously unsanctioned.
Right.
So how they did weight classes and stuff like that, I imagine it's going to be a little different than how they do it this year. How that stacks up, I don't know. But at the same time, yes, she is a reigning state champion, so that's the expectation of her going in.
Yeah, so hopefully she doesn't feel any pressure. You just go in and you wrestle the best you can. And, yeah, I love to see teams and individuals, you know, from Southeast Kansas do well.
Moving on a little bit, we can go back to basketball. A team you may not be as familiar with, two teams really you're not as familiar with, but one I really want to talk about. It's been kind of burning on my mind the last 2 weeks. The Erie girls, about a month ago, they played Cherryville, and Cherryville ran over them, and Cherryville didn't play that well. And I'll never forget the quote from first-year Erie head coach Cindy Daniels after the game. If you want a Parsons connection, her assistant is Pontius, Sammy Pontius, Barney Pontius' wife. But the head coach, Cindy Daniels, first year coach there, talked to me after the game against Cherryville, and they go, she goes, "We played well. There was just nothing we could do," because Cherryville's pretty good this year.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they only had 2 wins, and they had about 3 or 4 losses. And I remember coming away, I was like, "Man, Erie's just not that good this year. Oh well." Last 2 weeks, they have won 5 in a row, and 5 of their last 6, if you count a first game loss to Columbus in the Lancer Classic. They took 3rd place in the Lancer Classic, beating Baxter Springs. Baxter Springs has Delaney Barnes, one of the best posts in the area. Then they beat Fredonia. Then they beat Humboldt. And the Humboldt score, 48-41, is noteworthy because it came at both those games, Fredonia and Humboldt. They played three games this week. So they've played 6 games the last 2 weeks and have gone 5-1 against them. And the Fredon and the Blue Stem and Humboldt game were league play. So they're 2-0 in league play. The Humboldt score, 48-41, was almost the identical score to which Cherryville beat Humboldt last week as well. Cherryville beat them 49-41.
Mm-hmm.
Cherryville and Erie girls play each other Tuesday. It's a game I'm going to be at. I know you might be at the Parsons Frontenac girls,
right?
But I'll be interested to see how Frontenac looks in that one, because Frontenac girls are in the Cherryville substate. But what will be fascinating to watch is, now Erie has improved so much, that game is for 1st place in the Tri-Valley League, and both coaches told me after the game, both the Cherryville coach and the Erie coach said after the game, that's a toss-up. They know that's going to be a fight. And what shocks me about that, Scott, and you and I were talking a little bit about this, is that just the growth of one team in one season that quickly, that much improvement, it's really rare. Usually a team is basically what they are. They may go up and down. They may beat some expectations a little bit. They may fall short of expectations just a little bit. But usually everybody has their tier that they're in. Well, Erie has advanced 2 tiers, and they're contenders now. They were looking at they've gone from rebuilding year to we're fighting for a league title in a home playoff game in one season. I don't know if you've ever even seen something like that.
You know, we talked about the 92 Viking team a little bit earlier, and you said, well, that's the year you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm going to go back even a little bit further. 1988, okay? And it's probably not fair to compare a high school girls team to an NCAA D1 men's team. But as you were talking, the only team that I can think of that had a really, really big turnaround was that KU team that won the national championship in 1988. They were 12-8 at one point. They had lost 3 games at home after winning 55 straight at Allen Fieldhouse. And Larry Brown said after they lost to K-State,
mm-hmm.
that's who broke their 55 streak at home, he told the guy, everybody had given up on the season. People didn't think they were going to make the NCAA tournament after all these high expectations. And Coach Brown said, you know what, guys? We're not there yet, but I feel like we're just starting to turn the corner. And he made some adjustments. He moved a guy from the number 2 guard to the point position. And the rest is history. KU went on to win the national championship. And you're right. You don't see this very often. And my only chance to see Erie is at the Lancer Classic.
Yeah.
And Parsons didn't go to the Lancer Classic this year. But I do have a coworker who follows Erie sports. And so he's kept me up to date a little bit. And I don't know if the coach has tweaked some things or if the girls have just somehow gelled here in the last month or so.
Yeah.
At the high school level, what you just described, I have nothing to compare it to. That's amazing.
And that's what's – and so, you know, if I was writing a column in the Parsons Sun about the team I'm most impressed with, boys or girls, any level – it's not the Parsons boys, all respect to them. It's not the Labette County girls, all respect to them. It's the Erie girls because of how quickly they've turned this around. And all of a sudden, on Tuesday, a month and a half ago when I had my coverage schedule, I was like, oh, I guess that girls game is going to be somewhat decided. All of a sudden, I'm looking at a game that puts you on the inside track for a league title. It is going to be a fight. Yeah. And that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, it's That's an amazing turnaround. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about just a group of teenage girls coming together, mm-hmm. and that's very impressive. And, you know, so props mm-hmm. to them and props to the coaching staff as well.
Oh, yeah. We got about a minute left, Scott, so I'll hit you with one last kind of final thoughts going out. We'll return to Parsons basketball a little bit. They play Pittsburgh on Friday. If they beat Pittsburgh, they'll have a two-game lead on the Pack for the SEC League title, which, based on how we've seen Parsons play this year, that will all but wrap it up. Yeah. You don't want to put the cart before the horse, but we know what Friday's game against Pittsburgh means for the Parsons boys. They beat them 96-80 in the first time they played. Parsons, you know, Houck's last quote to me last night was, "We can't go into that game Friday trying to score 96 points."
That's very true.
what's your biggest point of emphasis for Parsons to go and beat Pittsburgh on the road here on Friday night?
Honestly, I think they just need to stay within themselves and not be too amped up, mm-hmm. Because, you know, Coach Houck can't say something like this, but I can. If they beat Pittsburgh, the league's over.
Yeah.
Parsons, you know, barring injuries or something, Parsons will – they won't just win the league. They're going to run the table. That's my opinion. If they beat Pittsburgh, they're going to run the table. The X factor for me also would be I was told Pittsburgh had a starter that broke his arm. I was told that he might be back mm-hmm. for that game, whereas originally I'd been told he was out for the year. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard one way or the other which is true. But, you know, Pittsburgh's tough. They've got a great 1-2 punch with their, you know, their guards. And
Gavin Alkabell and Javon Grant, those are two
they're
great
awesome.
Players.
They're awesome. You know, but I think, you know, Parsons is easily good enough to go over to Pittsburgh and get a win.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, that's going to do it here on the War Room. Hopefully on this Monday morning, you and I are the happiest we've been in a long time. I'm sure.
I hope so.
I really do. And if we're not, I'm sure a part of us is happy that they were there and we're celebrating a good year for the Chiefs, and it was a fun ride to watch no matter what. Hope you guys are enjoying your Monday morning, listeners. Thank you for joining. Scott, thank you for coming in. When's the third visit going to be?
That's your call. I'll be here whenever you want me to be. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Scott. You are the omnipresent man of Parsons. That is absolutely true. That'll do it for us here on the War Room. Come visit us next week and have a great post-Super Bowl Monday. God bless.